can slowly come out your meditation. You got another 25 minutes before your dinner. So I will open it up for Q&A or meditation reporting. Anybody wants to report meditation or ask any question, you can. The mic is here. Anybody? Pass the mic to our sister, yeah, in front.
Good afternoon, Brother Chiu.
Yes.
Actually, I would like to add about the precepts.
Okay.
I have my relatives in Hong Kong. So the Hong Kong people, they like to eat those alive seafood.
Okay.
And I asked them, because they are also Buddhist. So we discussed about the first precept, no killing. Then they say, we don't have intention of killing. So it's okay, it's all right.
It's okay. Yeah. So what is your question?
So I would like to, it's a little bit confusing to me.
Regarding this precept, a lot of people don't quite understand. You off the mic, just push it down. You see, the first precept, you have to recall to mind what is it that you are taking when you chant the Panatipata Viramani Sikapadang Samadhi Yami. Viramani Sikapadang Samadhi Yami means what? Means we undertake the training rule. Panatipata is causing, you kill or causing harm. The main one is killing. So killing, for it to be effective, they are not wrong. Your whatever friends from Hong Kong, where you need mental intention. First, they say there must be a being, a living being to kill, means the fish. There must be intention to kill. Then the third one is, there must be the actual killing. Then you break that precept. For your relative or what, in Hong Kong, they got no intention to kill. They don't kill the thing, understand? So actually, they didn't violate the precept in its proper perspective. But don't worry so much about this, understand? I got one Kayamita lagi was last time, one also girl. He said, Viratio, after I understand the Buddha Dhamma, I got this problem. The father-in-law come down. The father-in-law and mother-in-law like to eat the live fish or not. Then she go to restaurant with them. Then she was the one in charge of ordering. So we say, I'm a Buddhist, I cannot kill. I don't want to order. When I order means I beg karma. So like that also can. Your father-in-law order not beg karma for you. Your mother-in-law order not bad karma for you. You order bad karma. Then I said, you must understand, life is not like that. You have to be practical and you have to be mindful. I said, before you undertake the Buddhist training, you also order in there, grab everything. The Buddha never say you cannot eat. But if you are willing to take whatever, very small, I should say very small coming, is not going to be a problem. You sacrifice for something, but you got no intention to kill. But because there's a restaurant who is willing to do it for you, then actually based on precept, you didn't violate, you can order. But people have this problem, they think, if I order, I cost to kill another. That's how. Because the Buddha says, I undertake the training, to abstain from killing. So it's like the Christian precept, thou shalt not kill. So to circumvent the precept very easy. I don't kill, I hire assassin to kill. So the intention is there. But this one, you are not hiring an assassin to kill. The restaurant guy who killed that thing is not your, you hire one. So it's different. So to me, it's okay. So don't go and upset your father-in-law and mother-in-law. You know what they will tell you? This is daughter-in-law. He didn't even know I'm the father-in-law. Then the mother-in-law said, I'm the mother-in-law. You dare to tell them, they are your elder, you must respect them. Then what I like to eat, you got problem with it. You cannot like blindly tell them, Papa, Mama, I Buddhist, no. I won't order raw fish, you want you order. I tell you, you finish. Go back, your relationship show problem. So as a daughter-in-law, you must be sensitive. If they like to eat, let them eat. I also order for my parents. Understand? Because they are our parents. But you didn't really cause the killing and the intention to kill, because you didn't hire people to kill. So these are, to me, not so critical, because you don't have the actual intention and actual killing. You didn't break the precept. But what I'm trying to advise people is, your heart, your mind, the evil root is more important. When you still have a lot of evil root, you want to be compassionate until you don't even want to cause to kill. You think you order, you cause to kill. But they didn't check. Ordering doesn't mean you hire that fellow to kill another. But this is the livelihood profession. They choose that profession and they are actually doing a business. So whatever killing is actually the person who is doing it, the restaurant owner. And they don't really have the intention to kill the fish, but because they have to do a business. So when they do that killing, they have to bear the karmic. But it's not really something that is very serious, because there is an unwritten rule. So this one was my last teacher told me an unwritten rule. He said during the evolution time, they have this, I think, they come up with some understanding. So all these fish or provide as food, they say it is allowable. Understand? But not purposely go and kill. Understand? But for food, for consumption only. Otherwise, the population you feed with what? The agriculture cannot cope. Understand? If everybody vegetarian, then you think vegetarian no life there. They also got pesticide to kill so many. Then when you eat your food, your body have an immune system. It will digest, then it will also kill the cells within. But then that is not killing, because you don't know intention. It is your system doing it. So there are a lot of things that you have to understand about precept. Yeah, during the Buddha's time, I'm not wrong, they say there's a monk who has this ability to see all the small bacteria or whatever that is inside the water and also within the atmosphere that has life. Then he approached the Buddha and said, when I drink, when I breathe, I kill. The Buddha told the monk, you like that, don't breathe and don't eat. Don't drink. That is really foolish, isn't it? Correct? Huh? Like the Muslim, the air people breathe, you cannot breathe, because that is not holy anymore. More important is cultivate your mind. Because before I reach certain age, before I really understand the importance of Dhamma, I also kill cockroach. I told you. I also kill mosquito when I was young. Well, we don't know. But it doesn't mean you kill mosquito, kill cockroach, your karma will be very bad. Of course there is karma. But these are small beings. Then of course there is karmic. But you can take it. Sometimes to sacrifice, like you work as a police. Then there is a riot or people go crazy. Then killing public people. So you have a duty, you have to bring him down. And to bring him down, he got weapon, sometimes you have to shoot him. So when you do it for helping people, your noble intention is much better. And you don't intend to kill, because you, what your duty is, you want to stop this person from killing more. So when he do that, there is killing, but very, very small karmic impact. Because first, there is no real intention to kill. And the intention to bring him down is because to save life. It's not through anger, hatred, delusion, I kill. So your mental intention is very important. So this is the part when you understand, don't worry so much about this. Even let's say God lah, a little bit of karma, so what? Take it lah. It's not going to say after that you cannot become enlightened. No. When I young, I also kill mosquito. My mother, I told you the mortina, I also spray her. Then meditation time, they come. Disturb my leg, you know. First time, the feeling come. I check, nothing. Then second time, I thought, also nothing. And I put my hand down. Really, I think 5 or 6 cockroach down there. Cannot be one, in my room. How come they all come underneath my leg there? Then I knew it's a karmic thing. I have to ask for forgiveness. Otherwise, they will keep on coming to disturb me or obstruct my meditation. So when you understand, you know how to attend to it, you attend to it. Okay? Okay. Sadhu. Anybody else want to report meditation? Don't have, then we do something for you. Oh yeah. Ah yeah. Dennis why here. Yeah.
Brought you under the chanting recollection of the Sangha. I'm not sure what does this mean when it says this order of the Blessed One disciples, namely the 4 pairs of person, the 8 types of individuals. Can Brother Teo please explain?
Okay, very good question. I think some of you are not so familiar, because according to the Buddha, there are 8 type of individual because there are 4 type of enlightened being under the sainthood way. The first stage of sainthood The first stage of sainthood is called Sotapan. Second stage is what? Yeah? Sakadagami. Third? Then third one is Anagami. Last one is Arahana. So these are the 4 types of enlightened beings. Then the Buddha said, each and every of these, they have path and friction. Both these are enlightenment. Friction. That's why in Pali it's called Magga and Pala. So this one one, this one one. So this one one, this one one. This one one, this one one, this one one, this one one. So total eight. So these are the four pairs of individual beings. So when you cultivate, initially you have a glimpse of Nibbana, then you're on the path. Then as you cultivate and stabilize, you reach the friction. So each and every of these enlightened beings, they have one pair. Okay, so the eight tile individual. Yeah, okay. Anybody else want to like report meditation or ask any question? Otherwise we use this time to radiate metta to Chui, Ui Chui Hun, her name. Those who know her can visualize her name. Miss Lee told me she's still not well. So we sit for maybe 5 minutes. We radiate love and metta, then wish him well being and happiness. Then may she recover from her whatever problem, so that she can actually gain back her normal life to cultivate and to do whatever she wants to do. Yes. Oh, okay. Very good. So Susan wants to know what is the most effective way to radiate metta. So like that day I said metta got three levels. Initially you recite that time because it's like you don't have the metta yet. So you use words, understand not? So words you recite, then it's like the parroting, not so effective. So words alone, if you don't feel it, it's just words, not much effect. Then you go into the second level of radiating. You feel that love and metta, understand? May I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy. You must feel that well-being and happiness within you. Each and every cell only. And then this positive energy will go in as well. Where the thought can arise the feeling. Right thought or good thought will condition good feeling. Wrong thought, unwholesome thought will condition negative feeling. So when you feel, means you have this feeling there. It's like you will it. Then second level. Like you want to relate to somebody, you visualize them. Then you just parrot, that is the first level. But when you visualize them and will this love, means you relate exactly the same like you relate to yourself, but you feel her body. Then you feel the well-being and happiness within her body. So that one is second level. The third level is, it's not will anymore. You develop until you have metta. When you have metta, you can read it direct from the heart. No need to will anymore. When you arise the pure wish or sincere mind to just read it, then you will go. You will go. So these are the three levels. Okay, Susan? Sadhu. Okay, we spend 5 minutes, just nice, after that, 5:30. We will try to do it for Chui, I will set the alarm at 5 minutes later. Thank you so much for helping radiate this metta to Uy, Sister Uy Chui Huan. So we hope through whatever wholesomeness that she has done for the Kaya Metta and also help out in whatever way. May this wholesomeness pave the way for her to recover to good health, so that she can become like normal, to cultivate, to travel, and to do the thing that she wants to do. Okay, with this, you can go for lunch. We meet back at 6:40, okay?